We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a letter from the Herald Express, read by Harriet Cass.
Lost, young black and white female cat, approximately 1 year old. Not neutered, lost in Barton Hill Road area. Very nervous. Answers to the name Boo.
Thanks to Adrian Sheen of Paynton for finding that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome, first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Andy Hamilton. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toksvig. Jeremy, why has Respec been given the Royal Seal of Approval?
Poor old Queen. She has to... The Queen I'm talking about, not you, Simon. She turns up and she has to read this out and she hasn't got a clue and it's not... She doesn't like it, does she? You know she'd be much happier with some Daphne du Maurier or something. And she's got this enormous, bloody great trifle on her head. And she's only a tiny woman. Very sprightly for 80. So you'd think that Plunkett will probably be forcing her to go to work for the first time.
I felt sorry for her, though. I mean, the speech was longer than the average article in the Racing Post, and it must have been...
The bit I resented, I think, was the rather manipulative reintroduction of David Blunkett into the cabinet so that he can be put, you know, so that you put a blind man in charge of incapacity benefit. Do you see what they've done there? It's very, very subtle. If you apply the same principle, Hazel Blears gets put in charge of incompetence benefit.
Weird thing about David Blunkett is we know a certain amount about his private life, and yet there was never a period when he was noticeably more cheery because he was getting his jollies, was there? There should have been a golden age, shouldn't there? Civil liberties cascading and asylum seekers welcome to the country and a big smile on the dog's face.
This week, Tony Blair unveiled his plan.
Hang on. No, because the bulk of it is that they are going to privatise what is left of our public services. They're going to force the fire service into a partnership with the rain. And they want more power to parents in education, which is a really bad idea, because some people will be familiar with the PTA, the Prevention of Teachers Act, which is an appalling thing. And also, they want to bring more...
You can't stop this.
They want more faith schools. This is the new euphemism for religion. Faith. They want more faith schools. Call me old-fashioned, but I think religion should come about as a result of a blinding light, a nervous breakdown, or a prison sentence. Doesn't belong on the blackboard.
This week, Tony Blair unveiled his plans for his next term in office with a packed Queen's speech of 45 bills aimed at restoring respect in society. The Queen presented 45 bills, including her bill for keeping 200 corgis, her bill for keeping Prince Andrew in debutantes, and her bill for touring around the world looking bored and waving glumly at Canadian Indians. Andy, which other gorgeous figure demanded respect this week?
This is the Americans getting very angry with George Galloway for, in their view, profiteering from Iraqi oil and dealing with all kinds of shady characters, because that's their job. it led to this rather fantastic, compelling spectacle of a Senate committee encountering probably their first ever Glaswegian. he's not somebody I'd choose to have a drink with, but I have to say that on the basis of the evidence did look a bit patchy, and it seemed like their killer fact was they said that the contentious documents had been authenticated by what they called an unnamed senior source in Iraq. There seem to have been quite a few of these over the past few years, the unnamed senior sources. I don't know where they get them. Perhaps there's an agency they get them from. I don't know. But it did make me think that actually there's a marvellous little scam that you could pull, which is that if you changed your name by deed poll to an unnamed senior source, you could sell all sorts of rubbish to newspapers because, you know, they could say, the Queen is, in fact, a Thai ladyboy, according to an unnamed senior source.
Actually, that sounds perfectly reasonable. What I liked was him using the word traduced, which I think that there must have been a lot of senators going, anybody got a dictionary?
The problem is, when you will set up an arena with two combatants like that, you actually want one side to win. But it was really rather like Neil Hamilton and Al Fayed, as far as I can see.
Yeah, all the people who supported the Gulf War are now clothing themselves in the fact that Iraq has had elections. And you think, well, that's true. But there is a very important category of people who weren't able to vote in the election, which is all the people that we killed. At least in Zimbabwe, the dead get to vote too.
It's the extraordinary performance of gorgeous George Galloway, the Respect MP for Bethnal Green and Bow, during a hearing before the US Senate into the Iraq oil for food scandal. Saddam Hussein and his officials are believed to have smuggled up to $5.5 billion worth of crude out of Iraq by disguising these vast amounts of oil as Robert Kilroy's silk. Sandy, who's waging war on inequality without a wage?
Ah, this is the lovely Meg Munn. Now, what happened? Tony Blair's a very busy man. He's a very, very busy man. He's been doing so much listening that he's got a headache. And so he remembered to appoint all his ministers and get the lovely David and the dog back in and all those things. And then somebody went, what about the women? And he went, oh, yes, I must have one of those. So he went and appointed Meg Munn as the Minister of Women, but they've run out of money, and she's going to fight for women to get equal pay, so that'll give her a fighting chance, because she knows what it feels like. I think that's the way it works.
Is she actually going to be a volunteer minister?
She is. She is a volunteer minister. So is Lord Sainsbury, but... Oh, yes, that's right, he can afford it.
I think she's going to do a bit of ironing on the side as well.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
Yeah, she's going to collect Tony's dry cleaning.
I thought there was a conflict of interest with Lord Sainsbury in the government, but apparently he no longer does till work at all at Sainsbury's.
Right.
And when anything to do with supermarkets is discussed in Cabinet, he goes...
In the same week, the Department of Trade and Industry figures showed that a woman's average income was 50% less than a man's. It was revealed that Meg Munn, MP, will not be paid at all for her role as Minister for Women. Though, to be fair, she is allowed to keep the tips she gets when she serves the Cabinet their tea and biscuits. Alan, listen to this. Alan, who thinks a change at the top would do them good?
This is the spare party, is it? This is the Tories?
Yes.
Yes. I believe there's a it's called a leadership struggle. So a lot of Tories are struggling not to be leader, because if they hang on, they hang on for a bit and things go really wrong, there will be kings across the water. And Mr. Davis can come across and do it, or they're waiting for Osborne to grow up. Soon as Osborne is in long trousers, they will make him leader in about 30 years' time.
Why does anyone want to be the leader of the Tory party, though? I mean, just to have the privilege of leading them yet again to electoral disaster. It's not so much poison chalice, more a sort of small beaker of sunny delight, isn't it?
I would love to lead total failures. I mean, they wouldn't notice, would they?
The battle to be next leader of the Conservative Party started with all the possible contenders throwing their hat into the ring. Ken Clark is still considering whether to run for the Conservative Party leadership, though at his age, he'll probably just shuffle towards it in hush puppies. At the end of round one, the scores...
Left-wing bias question.
Hmm?
We're not having the question, but Guy Robert Aitken has written this book about left-wing bias on Radio 4, are we?
Someone's written a book about left-wing bias on Radio 4.
It's called It's Bias in the BBC.
Is it?
Didn't you read the papers this week?
No, I'm not allowed to by my controllers in Moscow.
Controllers in Moscow? That's about as topical as agents of the Tsar site.
I think it's a real problem at the BBC. I think the real problem is that the audiences are biased, actually. Hands up, everyone in the audience who voted Labour. Hands up. Well, how the bloody hell did he get in then? Come on.
At the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Andy have 4 points, but Alan and Sandy are in the lead with 5 points. We start round two with an advert from the Eastern Daily Press, Property Supplement.
Michael Duncan, Estate Agents. Gresham, guide price £335,000. Maliciously restored detached cottage.
Thanks to Christopher Pipe of Norfolk for that. Jeremy, who's not okay?
Oh, this is Michael Douglas, who's actually a good actor, like his father, but married that Welsh woman because she was a lot younger. They sold their wedding pictures in a very dignified way to one of them, OK or Hello, and the other one snuck in and hijacked it.
Yeah.
And then the court case has been reversed on appeal, so that the one that ended up having to give the money to the other one now doesn't have to give it. But I don't know whether they've already given it and they get it back. And I don't know if the other one's already spent it.
You're obsessed with gossip, aren't you?
I am.
Obsessed. I like Michael Douglas. He always looks like a sort of... He's been caught in a high wind tunnel now, doesn't he? There's a sort of surprised...
thighs gripping his cheeks.
Yes.
They're taking it... OK, are taking it to the House of Lords. I mean, what chances are the House of Lords will have any idea what's going on? They're going to sit there going through OK and hello.
That's not the point. Think of the fabulous setting for the pictures.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at Michael Douglas. It's like he's lacking wrinkles where you think they should be, really. It's like if you took your scrotum and pulled it over your head.
Well, don't knock it till you've tried
it. Horrible.
It's the news that OK Magazine must repay Hello Magazine the £1 million in damages it won after Hello Magazine published unofficial pictures of Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas' wedding, even though the couple had an exclusive deal with OK Magazine. Rattle Media lawyer said the groundbreaking decision will make it impossible for newspapers and magazines to protect their exclusive celebrity scoops, therefore vastly reducing the sums paid to celebrities. Good. Andy, who's come to their census about our earnings?
He's pouring water, Miss Drogger. He's busy. Let's do some sound effects on the program.
Yeah.
Would you like a cup of tea, Andy? Here you are.
Oh, look, Jeremy, there's a horse behind you.
I'm not myself this week. I got thrown off Celebrity Love Island. I'm not... What was...
And all you were doing was looking, wasn't it?
Sorry, what was this question again?
About the census.
Who's come to their census about earnings?
They want to change the census because apparently it is crucial that if they're going to put people on the electoral register to vote, that they know their inside leg measurement, what they had for breakfast, what kind of TV they've got, and they want to know people's earnings. But it's all perfectly innocent. They don't want to know your exact earnings. You don't have to show them a payslip. They just want to know which band you're in.
If you're in a band, you're making quite a lot of money.
The last census, I never filled that in. Come and get me, copper.
Does that mean you're not really here?
I'm not really here, for tax purposes.
Apparently one of the reasons that they...
Small failing pit in County Durham, for tax purposes.
But last time, the last census, we had to do religion. Didn't we have 30,000 Jedi Knights living in this country?
Officials at the Office of National Statistics are considering including questions about earnings in the next census due in 2011. The section detailing earnings will be divided into broad categories. 100,000 and over, 100,000 to 50,000, 50 grand to 20 grand, and Minister for Women. Sandy, listen to this. By Sabrina Johnston.
You couldn't tell from listening.
Sandy, whose peaceful protest led to a breach of the peace.
Oh, this is unbelievable. This has really made me quite cross. Okay, so we're going to lock everybody up and every child in the country is wearing hoodies and everybody's a yob. And the only good thing about all this, can I just say, because my children do wear hoodies, I'm now no longer have to go to the Blue Water Shopping Centre on a Sunday. I can't tell you how it's freed up. Good quality time. Lindis Perry, I think her name is. She's 63 years old. She's married to a vicar. She's a grandmother. She ticks all those lovely Daily Mail boxes.
She's asking for it, isn't she?
She is. She has just been sentenced to be tagged for the next 8 weeks because we don't know that where she's going to be hanging about, why she might be at the rectory or outside the rectory. She might even go to a service, the dangerous woman. This has made me so cross. She's a peace protester. She's been a peace protester for a very, very long time. She's been keeping an eye on lots of naughty things that have been going on and going, don't do that, in a really calm, lovely sort of a way. Well, she came up before the courts and they said, an ASBO is not appropriate. Yes, hello, but no, we're going to tag you for the next 8 weeks. So she's got something on her ankle. And, I mean, you know, women don't want attention drawn to their ankles at that age.
This week, a judge criticised the Ministry of Defence for trying to use an antisocial behaviour order against the anti-war protester, Lindis Percy. Mrs. Percy has been arrested 150 times for anti-war protests.
OK, so there was one or two little previous...
The Home Office said ASBOs were a valuable tool to protect communities, unlike the worthless tool who introduced them. Alan, who escaped swift justice with his copper-bottomed excuse?
Well, I suppose it's this very decent citizen who will get a lot of money from Vauxhall. got up in the small hours and said, I feel like putting my foot down. And did 160 miles an hour. And quite rightly, the judge said, you're a decent copper. You've got to try your car out sometimes. God knows what happens when he tries out his truncheon. But anyway. his excuse was, or his defence was, that they'd just been issued with Vauxhall Vectras and he couldn't believe it either. So he tore up the motorway. And the judge tore up the charge sheet and said it's perfectly reasonable for a copper to do that.
I noticed a lot of emphasis was placed on the fact that he had passed an advanced driving test. I don't know if you've ever spent any time with somebody who's passed an advanced driving test, but they bang on. They say things like, it's not speed that kills, it's ignorance. And they'll tell you. In fact, any advanced motorists in the audience tonight?
There's one right here.
Well, don't go south of the river, Andy, if you want to live home.
Alan. I've been in your car. You have to pedal.
Tell us what happens on an advanced driver test, and what happens.
You go out with a copper for about an hour and a half. And
on a date?
What?
PC Mark Milton was cleared of speeding and dangerous driving this week, despite videoing himself driving at speeds of up to 159 miles an hour on roads around Telford in December 2003. He claimed he was merely testing out his new police car. The whole courtroom was shocked to see images of PC Milton speeding at 159 miles an hour towards Telford. Usually people caught speeding are desperately trying to get away from Telford. So, at the end of round two, Jeremy and Andy have 8 points, but Alan and Sandy are still just in the lead with 9. And before we start round three, here's a cutting from a Derbyshire Dales recycling leaflet.
If you're one of the estimated 17% of people in the UK whose composting has lapsed, now is the ideal time to dust off your bin and throw yourself back into it.
Thanks to Jeff France for that. Jeremy, listen to this. Jeremy, why are children being prevented from seeing doctored DVDs?
I think you know you're getting old when you can remember the name of the first Doctor Who, but you can't remember the name of the most recent one. But it was Christopher Eccleston, wasn't it? Mm. And I saw this, and there was a flurry of stuff in the paper. Oh, it's ridiculous censorship. Nanny State gone mad. They're censoring Doctor Who videos because of horror in them. And I thought, well, that sounds preposterous. And I started to read it, and not having watched the recent Doctor Who, a Dalek was tortured. Billy Piper sang, you know. This Dalek was chained up. I'm not sure they bruise easily, that Dalek, because there's a lot of polystyrene and Tupperware gone into making sink plungers and bits of old yoghurt cartons. It's basically an alien designed by the Blue Peter team, the Dalek. They chained it up and drilled it, which would hurt it, while Christopher Eccleston from Our Friends in the North stood around taunting it. I thought, this is actually extremely brutal, and what is the evidence against this Dalek?
There was an unnamed senior source had fingered the Dalek.
It's the new Doctor Who series whose latest incarnation has been given a controversial 12 certificate on DVD release, following an episode in which the Doctor seemed taunting a tortured Dalek. TARDIS stands for Time and Relative Dimension in Space. And if you already knew that, it may be just time to shoot yourself. Andy, listen to this. That was Lady in Red.
You're wasted here. You must hire yourself to Radio 2.
I've got a joke about Christopher.
Go on.
Why did Christopher cross the road? To get to the middle.
Wasn't that voted the most annoying song ever in a recent poll? I think it was.
Arnold Brown, the fine Scottish Jewish comedian, has a brilliant joke about Christopher. He says, I went into our place and I went up to the desk and I said, excuse me, I have a complaint. I do not consider Christopher to be easy listening.
And I hate to say this to a Chelsea fan, but why would the lady be wise to wear red if she wants to win?
Well, you've got to drag in the Chelsea fan thing, haven't you? Which is getting a lot of hostility these days. From
your thugs, your yobs, your hoodie people. You're like Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi with drugs, you hood-crazed Chelsea louts.
But there are also the gentleman Chelsea supporters who
say, like David Meller.
No, he was never a Chelsea fan. He didn't support us in the dire days when we used to play Shrewsbury in the rain. Him or John Major, I never saw them in the shed. You know, I never heard John Major singing, you're going home in a
private event. Ambulance.
Anyway, yeah, this is a stupid survey. This is some scientist from the University of Mickey Mouse. They've come to the conclusion that you're more likely to succeed in a competitive sport like football if you wear red, because they studied which were the top teams and they noticed that more of them wear red.
Were the tests done with mice? Because if they'd used squirrels, they'd have found out that grey was clearly the better colour, yeah. Wasn't it?
Also, it's out of date, because Man U are going to stop wearing red, because I understand that now that Glazer, this sort of overgrown leprechaun, has bought the club, he's going to make them play in ginger.
Ginger's not a colour, it's a
orientation.
Russell Hill and Robert Barton of the Evolutionary Anthropology Research Group at Durham University have declared that wearing red can significantly improve your chances of winning. And you can tell that to those notorious no-hopers, the All Blacks. Sandy, why could robots be good for your health?
Oh, this is a very bizarre idea. They have developed a 5-foot-high robot, which I think is perfectly a reasonable height for a robot. And what it is, instead of the doctor going around to do the rounds, we now have this 5-foot-high robot, which has got a sort of flat television monitor on its head. It's called Dr. Robbie, or Sister Mary, depending on whether it's the white robot or the pink one. And it comes around, and the doctor could be, you know, in Outer Mongolia, and there it is in East Croydon Hospital. I don't know if there's a hospital in East Croydon, but boy, they need one. And it comes around, and the doctor talks you through the screen and says, how are you feeling?
You wouldn't want to diagnose you, though, would you? You'd end up with a gas bill for £43 billion and 400 weight of anthracite.
Yes,
I know computers.
There was a woman this week who had her kidney removed by a robot. Mm. And the doctor was just sitting there watching. You just think, well, what's
he
doing?
Didn't try and stop it.
Well, no. No.
That's
trouble.
An episode of Doctor Who you were watching.
This is the walk-on-by society, isn't it? Yeah. Where doctors sit by and watch robots take people's...
Just kidneys, just willy-nilly. Oh.
That as well.
Yes.
Oh. This week has seen the arrival at St Mary's Hospital London of RP6, nicknamed Sister Mary, a robot that patrols wards allowing patients to be examined remotely. This week also saw Britain's first robotic organ transplant carried out by the Da Vinci robot at Guy's Hospital. It's weird being operated remotely, but you soon get used to it, said Tony Blair. Alan, what high-tech ambitions have achieved low results and met with a cold front and storms of protest?
This is BBC, the new weather forecast, which give people motion sickness. I wasn't sure what that is, but apparently some people are keeling over in front of their televisions because BBC has digitised its weather forecast. I liked it in the days when it had a tin map, and Bert Ford came on and stuck magnets on and said it's going to be cloudy. And while he was talking, the magnets fell off. And you're always going to be... It's changeable then, is it, Bert? You would think...
They said the BBC weather has now got a bias against the north. Well, I've been to the north, and I think that's completely fair.
The thing that makes me uneasy is the exclusion of the Irish Republic. They show rain over Northern Ireland, but because the Irish Republic is not part of the weather map, you can't get to see anything. So if you're on the border and you're thinking of, you know, going south about 200 yards, you won't know what the weather's like. It's as if weather stops at Dundalk and it doesn't go on south.
It's since Paisley became such prominence that these Fenians will not have weather. Well,
I'm in charge.
BBC weather forecast have received £1 million makeover. BBC have modernised the forecast, leading to hundreds of complaints from people who preferred the previous system of Michael Fish licking his finger, sticking it out of the window and saying no, there wasn't going to be a hurricane. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
This is from the Western and Wirral News, and it's sent in by Mr. D. Durham. And it's a letter from the letters page. I would like to put a reply to your letter about horse sense last week. I am the owner of a German Shepherd and a Collie. I've also worked with horses and donkeys for many years, and horses eat grass, and when they go to the toilet, it does make a mess, but there are no diseases in the mess. The mess of my and anybody's dogs can be harmful to our health, and it is not nice when stood in. I would much prefer my children to stand in horse mess than that of dogs.
Andy.
This is from Pete Lopeman, and it was spotted in the Prague Post. And it's a quote from a director who's either very funny or very pretentious. And it's under an arts column, and it's what they're reading. And Borka Gunnarsson says, I'm reading the telephone book of Prague, 2004. At first sight, you might see it as a pile of names, but it's all about lost chances. All those people you could have met but never did. It's basically about the emptiness of life. It has a sort of Gertrude Stein magic to it. When a character is introduced, his name is repeated endlessly until it comes to the next character, and the characters never appear again. The only book that is similar is the Telephone Book of Prague 2003.
Sandy.
This has been sent in by Chris Griffiths, and it's from the letters page of Woman's Weekly. Our vicar was talking to the children in the congregation about Jesus and the resurrection. And what do you think Jesus might have said to the people when he was resurrected? He asked. The children remained silent, wriggling in their seats. Finally, one little girl put up her hand. Yes, Kelly, asked the vicar, what do you think Jesus might have said at the resurrection? And Kelly jumped to her feet, flung her arms wide and said, ta-da!
Alan.
Mine's from the Salisbury Chronicle, Simon. It says at Ringwood Magistrates Court, traveller George Romney, who had been offering zebra rides to children for £5 a time at a New Forest car boot day, was fined £100 for obtaining money by deception and a further £200 for causing distress to an animal by painting it.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores, which, thanks to my unique scoring system, Jeremy and Andy have 16 points, but Alan and Sandy, this week's winners, with 17. And before we leave you, here's an in memoriam from the Epping, North Weald and Ongar Guardian, sent in by Anthony Canning.
Janice, I miss you. I miss you when I do the hoovering, washing, ironing and cooking my dinner.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Andy Hamilton, Sandy Totswig and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and George Poles. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.